Can we just pray again one more time? God, Father, we thank you. We love you. God, we bless your name. We exalt you. God, I pray, God, like never before, you'll come. Come even on our fellowship. Come and do what only you can do, God. Our cry, our prayer tonight is come, Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How y'all doing? Good, good. It's good to be here. Sorry if my voice went out this weekend. I was preaching and screaming a little too much. So I think it made me be able to be gentle with you, so I'm happy about that. Pastor Lee, thank you. Love you. Love Pastor Andrew, Pastor Felix, everybody here. Y'all amazing. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. Many of you don't know, but I call this home. I know I'm not here a lot. I'm always doing something for Jesus, but thank you all. It's such a blessing to always come before you all, seeing the body of Christ be the body of Christ. I can honestly say I've never seen a church like this. But everyone's loving each other. Everyone's caring for each other. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. But if you have your Bible, let's turn to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. And this passage here, it's a prophecy of what's coming, but I really believe we have application for us here today. If you dare say amen.
Amen.
Verse 60 says this, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Verse 2 said, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But," someone say, "but. The Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." I love this verse. It says something that gets my gears going. It says, arise and shine. And what I see in this generation, when it's talking about Christianity, I see darkness coming over, and I see us taking a cowardly position. We are people now that we talk about the rapture not in coming in a place of the bridegroom and we get to be with him, but it's escapism type of thing. Get me out of here, it's getting too crazy. And I'm just crazy enough to believe this is the best hour to be a Christian in the world. I believe it's a call not to retreat, but to arise in a generation that is lost and full of darkness all over the world. In this city, I don't know if you've been watching, but the last 2 to 3 weeks has been totally chaos. Someone dying every day, Easter weekend, a weekend that we were supposed to represent the resurrection of Christ, 4 people died. It's a time not to retreat, but arise and shine in a generation. 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 9, I'm sure you all know what it says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient from their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpeaceable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." I'm sure we all can agree we're living in a generation as such. A crazy, dark generation. Never before are we dealing with what we're dealing with. I see some elderly saints in here. Back in the day, they didn't even allow a man and a woman in the bed on TV together. And now we watch TV shows, and literally boys are kissing and things like that on TV. Right. It's promoted all over YouTube. Right. Things are dark like never before. Right. And I believe that it's a call from heaven to us, for us as a people that love God, as a people will say, "I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again believer," to arise and to shine in the dark generation. That word shines means to kindle, to set a flame. I believe God has a fire for all of us that we haven't experienced before. I believe God wants us to burn and shine in a generation that's desperately seeking out for you. Just last night, we had a worship night, and he had a girl there with evil eye necklaces and things like that. A simple gospel message that she threw them down. Amen. I say that not to brag on myself, but to throw away the idea that a generation don't want Jesus. They do want Jesus, but it's a Christianity that's running away from darkness instead of shining in it.
Yeah.
Darkness can never outshine light. It's an impossible thing. If all the lights turned off today in this room and I just put on my flashlight, it'd be enough for me to get anywhere I want to be. So when I see the darkness in Baton Rouge, I don't retreat, but I get happy because I know the harvest is plentiful, like Jesus said. It's plentiful. And if I have this mindset, I don't run away from darkness, I run to it. So when I see the guy in the grocery store sagging his pants, I run to him and I'll rise in a moment. But I believe the problem with us is we have what I like to call an electric fire. My mom has this fireplace in her house, and I love it because it brings out great heat. Amber, my friend, she's here, so she really loves it. She's cold-natured. But the thing about this fire is it appears like it's a fire, and just heat comes out of it. And you can turn it on and off whenever you want to. And we have got this artificial fire about ourselves when it comes about God. That we're able to turn it on and off depending on where we're at, who around. So when I go to work, I'm going to turn it off. When I go to school, I'm going to turn it off. When I'm around my family who don't know God, I'm going to turn it off. And I believe God, he says himself that he's a consuming fire. You know, one thing about a wildfire is you can't control it. You know, and I believe that God wants to impart into us, impart into this generation of Christians, of such a fire for God that it's either this, when someone comes around you, they catch on fire and they run away.
Yeah.
I want such to burn for God that it's dangerous to come around me. Then they say, okay, if I'm going around Darryl, you know, it's either one thing. We're going to get on this Jesus thing or we're going to have to get away from him. Do you know it's a place in God when these things in this world is not entertaining? If God wants to consume us with such a fire that our born-again nights turn into a place where the Holy Spirit comes. God wants to such consume us when times like this happen that we're so filled with his spirit that the food is just staying and she cooked for nothing. And we'll eat after, praise God. But he wants to burn in us. Arise and shine. The hour we live in is really late. And it's a call to arise. You know, this, I believe that this is the last days. I'm sure we all could agree, right? But even if Jesus tarries, this is all of our last days. We don't get another chance. So we only have this generation to arise. You only have this generation to shine. You don't get another chance. One thing that frightens me so much is not when I see Jesus about sin. He paid for it all. But the things that he would say, Darryl, I had this to show you. I had this to give to you. Darryl, I wanted to do this to these people. I had these people that I really wanted to reach. But when I was calling you to arise, when I was calling you to that place of intimacy and consecration, you didn't show up. So what I had for you, you wasn't in position to get it. It frightens me. I heard this man, he was a preacher, and he said he had a dream when he standing before God. He said when he stand before God, God told him these things. You were saved, but a wasted life. Can you imagine? Stand before God and you say, yeah, you went to church, you paid your tithes, you did all of those things, but you didn't arise. When I wanted you to rise up like a lion, you didn't arise. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if Christ is going to be glorified, we're going to have to do something about it. This is not just God do everything, but you're going to have to put your foot to the plow and be bold. He's calling us to arise. Save but wasted life. Please don't let your life be wasted. Give it to Jesus. He's looking for lives that's all the way laid down. a life that if he tells you to do this, you're willing to do it. I preached this message last night. I said he's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Is he Lord over your tongue? Is he Lord over anywhere you go that you said, God, if you said do it, I'm willing to do it. We can't turn it off knowing he's not a toy that we can just choose to play with and not play with when we want to. He has to be Lord. And he wants to arise in us in such a special way. It's this story of this revival called the Revival of the Hebrides. I don't know if y'all ever heard of it. One thing that's so touching about it is it started off with these two older ladies. One was 84 and one was 82. One was blind and one had arthritis. It's crazy. But these two ladies begin to be burdened about the island that they was living on. It was dark. So many crazy things was going on. And these two women just begin to pray. They begin to seek God. There was something in their heart that said, somebody have to do something. A preacher's not doing it. These people not doing it. But we're going to arise and go into what God is calling us to go to. So these women begin to pray. And God begin to show them that a man named Duncan Campbell was going to come and to preach there. And the move of God was going to begin. So these ladies went to their pastor. I want you to imagine this. A blind lady and a lady with arthritis. It was 84 and 82. They told their pastor, hey, pastor, are you right with God? Because he's about to move. Are you good? We don't want you hindering anything. Pastor said, I'm right with God. They told him, you need to get in touch with this man, Duncan Campbell. God said he's coming. So the pastor calls Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell answers. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I can't come. I have a big meeting that they already scheduled. The pastor goes back to those ladies. He said, hey, I'm sorry. Duncan said he's not coming. Those ladies said, God said he's coming. Begin to print the material. Can you imagine going to a pastor these days? The pastor's gripped. He said, okay, these ladies is crazy. I'm going to go ahead and print the material. He's printing the material. All these things are coming. The ladies are telling everybody about what's happening and going on. And Duncan Campbell actually still goes to that meeting. He's at the pulpit. He's in the pulpit sitting down. And God tells him, what are you doing here? You need to go to Hebrides. He gets up. He says, oh, Lord. Can you imagine like going somewhere? If I was here tonight and telling Pastor Lee, look, I'm so sorry, but I got to go to another church. It's crazy. He gets on the boat. He's going to the island. And as he gets off the boat, a man looks. He said, hey, are you Duncan Campbell? We heard about you. He said, how? I told you I wasn't coming. He said, oh, God said you was coming. They get there. They have a regular meeting. It was a good meeting. It wasn't nothing too special. And as the people leaving out, it was a teenage guy. It's written that as everybody walked out, he was gripped. He said, God, it's more to what you've called us to. So he began to cry out, and they said that he said, God, you promised that you would pour out your spirit. What about the honor of your name? And they said, people begin to come in back in droves. And the spirit of God poured out in such a way that it lasted for 5 years. And people were turning themselves into the police station. Can you imagine? All the bars shut down because no one was going to drink anymore. Because two old ladies said, we're going to arise. One was blind and one had arthritis. What is your excuse? What is your excuse? We owe this generation a move of God, but it starts with you. Away with the thought that God's going to come whenever. Put yourself in position to receive. Put yourself in position that a people that's lost and dying in this world can really see Jesus high and lift it up. Someone say amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, so much for who you are and what you've done. God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would such rest our hearts, that you would such breathe upon each and every person in this place, that we will arise in the lost and dying world, that we will arise, oh God. Let us not take what you've given us for granted. Father, you said it's Christ in us, God. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's that Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. I pray, God, you will set a flame in us, God. I pray, God, that we will burn for you like never before. Breathe upon us, oh God. Let us not be the ones that we be saved, but our life is wasted. But today, God, we lay it all down for you.